So last week we concluded our sort of mini-series thinking about the Holy Spirit and all that he is to us and how living life in his power is what God has intended for all of us. So today we're going to turn our attention to look towards the kingdom of God. And we're going to spend maybe three sessions together over the next few weeks considering the kingdom of God. Now, the thing to say about the kingdom straight off the bat is this. It was the main theme, the main topic of Jesus' preaching and Jesus' teaching in the Gospels. It's mentioned over 100 times in the Gospel record. And everything that Jesus did and said, all the parables were stories of the kingdom. The miracles were signs of the kingdom. His preaching was the presence of the kingdom. Everything that Jesus was about when he was with us on earth was about the kingdom of God. Now, it's quite an enigmatic phrase, isn't it? And it needs a bit of explaining and a bit of exploring. So that's what we're going to do together over the next few weeks. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. This is one of the sort of the central themes in the Gospels. And it's so exciting. You know, when we capture something of the essence of what the kingdom of God is about, I tell you, it opens up so much of the ministry of Jesus to us, and we begin to see so much more of what he was truly about, what he was doing. So in essence, right, the kingdom of God is God's rule, God's reign, God's authority being here on the earth in the lives of men and women. That's the kingdom of God. And Jesus said that the kingdom is not geographical. It's not here. It's not there. Come on, help me. He said the kingdom of God is within you. It's you carry the kingdom. And I'll explain as we go on. He said, when people live under the benign, sort of grace-filled authority of God in their lives, that's where the kingdom is. When people walk in faith and obedience to Father God, and love him and respond to him with whole heart, that's where the kingdom is. The kingdom of God is within you. It's where God is king. It's where God reigns. It's where God rules. So how many of you would say to me today, yeah, God reigns in me? Okay, somehow that's good. I'm glad I'm talking to people who think that. You know, we used to sing that song, Lord, reign in me. Yeah? And it's a cry for, I want to be in the kingdom. I want to be under your rule and your reign. I want to be under your grace-filled authority, where I'm safe, where there's healing, wholeness, restoration, peace, grace, mercy. That's where I want to be, under the kingship of God, who is the great king above all gods, and who brings his rule, his reign, his authority into our lives. And when we gather corporately as church, and all bringing that sense of our belonging to him and our living under his authority and kingship, that's when church becomes the agent of the kingdom in the earth. And the church brings the presence and the power and the rule and the reign and the authority of God into its community. What a great challenge that is, huh? Amazing. Because the kingdom helps us to see church in a different light. That it's not just a sort of an endless round of meetings and rotas. But we're on mission with purpose to bring the rule and the authority of God into our community and to invite increasing numbers of men and women and young people to live under his grace-filled reign. How wonderful is that? That's the kingdom. So when we translate the word kingdom from the original, it carries so much more than just the word kingdom. And the sort of words that we should include would be things like this: kingship, kingly rule, sovereignty, dominion, reign. You get the idea. It's total authority of God, his lordship, his rulership in our lives, in our families, in our communities. And when we gather as church, that's where there's the expression where together in our hearts as we proclaim him King, Lord, Sovereign, and as we come under that wonderful authority of God corporately together as church, we take on the dimension that we are the representatives of Christ in the earth. Come on, who's excited about that? How many of you think God could have found some people who might have done a better job than us? I don't know. But it says he chooses the foolish things of this world. And he chooses people who are just willing and available and ready. And will be there and will say, God, I will have your rule in my life. And I will walk in my community and in my family and in my world with your authority in me. That's what he's looking for. Come on, what an awesome thing that is. So the kingdom is the dimension wherever God is king. Wherever God is ruling. Wherever God is in authority, that's where the kingdom of God is. Wherever people live under his grace-filled sovereignty. Who's glad to be there? Who knows it's a safe place? It's great. Under the shadow of his wings. In the rock. In the place of peace, in the place of security, in the place of blessing and mercy. But the kingdom, as you can see coming up here now, is it's already here, but not yet here, in its fullness. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom as being something that was at hand. He said, the kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. But he also said, the kingdom is to come. When you pray, pray, let your kingdom come. The kingdom was here already, but it was going to come in much greater measure in the future. And when Jesus took on flesh, when he became one of us, when he came and walked among us, he brought the power and the presence of the age that is to come, and he brought it into our present. How amazing is that? See, in the age that is to come, the book of Revelation tells us this. There'll be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. Right? It'll all be gone. And God's authority will be complete. But it's begun now. It's here now. And for those who come under the rule and the reign of God can begin to taste something of the power and the presence of the age that is to come. Now that is exciting. Huh? One of the theologians has called it the presence of the future. Because we are all on our way to a glorious eternity, aren't we? Where all those things are true. But Jesus says that future, that power in that age that is to come is already here. I brought it in my ministry. I brought it in my presence, in who I am. He says, look, I've come to do your will, O God. It's written of me in the volume of the book. And he begins the greatest ministry that the world has ever seen. And from the moment, as we'll see a little later, that he announces the arrival and the presence of the kingdom, he proceeds to demonstrate that the kingdom was here with healings and deliverance and miracles. And suddenly, the power of the age that we are all looking to in the future was here among us and was beginning to make a difference in people's lives. Now, his opening words in the Gospels are really sort of important and significant in his announcing of the kingdom. And in ordinary words, he says this: change your way of thinking. Change your way of living. Because God's grace-filled reign and authority has arrived. That was his message. What a great message that would be, wouldn't it, to bring to our community. When we do mission this summer, that we say to people, hey, listen, change the way you've been thinking. Change the way you've been living, because God's wonderful, glorious, grace-filled authority is now here. And it's among us in the church. Come and be part of living under this canopy of grace. What a difference that is, huh? To welcome people into something so rich, something so awesome, something so wonderful. But the presence of the kingdom is demonstrated, as you can see coming up here, by changed hearts and changed lives of the people who have entered into God's loving rule, God's reign. People who have said yes to him as king of their lives. People who have brought faith and obedience to the challenge to come to the kingdom. They live under his reign and under his rule. And the kingdom is demonstrated through the changes in their lives. There's so many people in the Gospels who did this. Do you remember Zacchaeus? Who was twisted and warped by his love of money, and he was worse than a drug dealer in his society. And he changes. And the fact that he embraced the kingdom and became part of the kingdom and came under God's rule in his life meant he changed his life to reflect that new reality. And isn't it wonderful when we see people, when they come to faith, the change is amazing. Often you see people who are, you know, when they come to that place of faith and are converted, come to Christ, born again of the Holy Spirit, life change is immense. And they no longer do the things or say the things or be the things they used to be, but now they're living in a new reality, in a new dimension, with a new direction, living in the power and the grace of this new life. And that's what happens when people embrace the kingdom of God. The kingdom is demonstrated by sick people being healed. The kingdom is demonstrated by evil spirits being evicted from people's lives and people being set free from the dominion that they were under and the destructive lifestyles that they couldn't break the habits of that would have led them to a lost eternity. The kingdom is demonstrated by miracles, signs, and wonders that bring the power of the age to come into our ordinary natural world and override them. You see, we call those instances miracles, but all it is really is the power of the age to come breaking into our normal parameters that we call every day. And when the power of the age to come is impressed upon our ordinary everyday, things happen. And suddenly there's a change, and the atmosphere is different because the presence of the future is with us now. Now, who'd want to see a lot more of that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be great? The power of the age to come. Let's think about that a little more. Here we go. See, when Jesus began his ministry, and he was bringing the power of the age to come into this present age in which we now live, from that moment on, there was going to be conflict between the two realities, between what we know as normal and the power of the age to come that was breaking into our normal and bringing change. So, for example, when the power of the age to come in the person of Jesus came into conflict with, say, for example, some that we meet in the Gospels whose lives were controlled by evil spirits, suddenly there's a confrontation. There's a clash. There's a collision of two powers of the present evil age in which we live and the power of the age to come penetrating and breaking in to that age. And suddenly they're crying out, "We know who you are. Have you come to destroy us before the time?" And with a word, Jesus says, "Out," and they're gone. And the power of the age to come is demonstrating its superiority over the age in which we live. Now, the Gospels reveal Jesus as the one who brings this rule and authority of God, this loving grace of God over every area of what we call our normal, natural lives. So he demonstrates Jesus as bringing the power of the age to come over nature, over demons, over disease, and over death. Now watch this. In Mark's Gospel, right, chapter 4 through into chapter 5, Mark has a narrative that runs right through those two chapters. And it starts with where Jesus is stilling the storm. He's in the boat with the disciples. And you know, they all say, "Lord, Lord, wake up. We're going to sink. We're all going to drown." And with a word, it says, Jesus spoke to the winds and the sea and he said, "Be still." And suddenly, I mean, can you imagine being in that boat? Whoa, that would have been amazing, wouldn't it? To just say, "Wow, what did you just do? Oh my gosh." Can you imagine how you would have felt being in that boat? And suddenly, at that moment, the power of the age that is to come, boom, came into this present age where normal parameters exist, where storms continue until they blow out. And suddenly, with the authority of the age to come, Jesus says, "Be still." And it is. Wow. Now, as they get off that little boat, they are met immediately by a man whose life is full of evil spirits. He says his name is Legion because there's so many of them living in this man's life, attached to him. And Jesus sets him free. Amazing. Now, it's, you know, sometimes in our lives, in ministry, we have had opportunity to minister to people, and seeing people set free of dark powers that have controlled their lives for many years is just an amazing blessing. And to see people whole and healed and restored and coming back into good relationship with God is amazing. The power of the age to come breaking into our ordinary world. And then as they move on, Jairus comes running to meet Jesus and says, "My daughter is really sick. Please come to my house and heal her." And as Jesus is moving towards Jairus' house, you know the story, there's a lady who's had an issue of internal bleeding for many years. And she pushes through the crowd because she's been thinking to herself, "You know what, if I can even just touch the back of his cloak, I'm going to be healed." She believed. She had faith. She'd seen him do things. She'd listened. She'd heard what he said. She was someone who was coming under the authority of God in her life. She was someone who was stepping into the kingdom. And with that faith and that obedience, as she reached out, you know the story, and just touched the back of his cloak, he stops in the middle of a crowd of everybody pushing. He says, "Who touched me?" You know, the disciples are saying, "Lord, who touched you? I mean, look, everybody touched you. This is crazy here. We're all crammed in on it." He said, "Somebody touched me in a special way. I hear and I understand and I sense that someone of faith has touched me in a special way." And the lady comes out, "It was me." He says, "Go in peace. Your faith has made you well." And then moves on to Jairus' house because people are coming saying, "Don't trouble the master anymore. She's already dead." So he says to Jairus, "Just believe." I mean, put yourself in this man's place. They get to the house. Already the professional mourners are singing their song and, you know, doing their crying, doing their thing. Jesus puts all the mourners outside. What a great message that will be for church. not this one, you understand all the other churches we go to. But all the mourners outside. Takes Peter, James, and John, his men of faith, goes into the room. The little girl is lying there dead. Gets down on his knees, prays, turns to the little girl and says, "Little girl, get up." And she opens her eyes and she gets up. The power of the age to come, breaking into our ordinary. And in just this narrative, suddenly we see Jesus, Lord over nature, stilling the storm. Lord over demons, delivering the man called Legion. Lord over disease of the lady with this issue of sickness. And Lord over death by raising Jairus' daughter. And Mark just displays to us, and he says, "This is the one who's bringing the kingdom. Here's the king. Here he is. Have you got eyes to see? Have you got ears to hear? The power of the age to come is breaking into our world. And if you've got eyes to see and ears to hear, get into the kingdom now." That's the call. How great is that? And people were believing, and they says many put their faith in him. They took that step to come into the kingdom, to come under the authority of God, under this grace, under this mercy, under this love, under this healing. You know, sometimes it's been a wonderful privilege to see people healed right before our eyes. It's a wonderful thing. Let me tell you one story. We've got time for one story. So when we were at Cefn Cribwr, north of Bridgend, from about 2000 till 2010, somewhere there, and God was doing great things amongst us, and it was exciting. And the presence and the power of the Lord was visiting with us. And it was like, wow. So a lady came to faith. She was about 40, something like that. And she was getting baptized. And, you know, we'd made the auditorium had become a sports hall with a special sports floor. So we had to bring in a kiddies paddling pool, quite a big one, to do baptisms. And we'd fill it and put a heater in it overnight, all that kind of stuff, you know. And So we baptized a few people, and I had the job. I had 10 minutes to preach in the morning. I mean, come on, who can say anything in 10? But I had 10 minutes to preach about people who met Jesus. So I just talked about, you know, the lady with the issue of blood, a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, a workman doing his job, and just talked about ordinary people who met Jesus and whose lives got powerfully transformed and changed when they met him. Finished the meeting, prayed for everybody, we sang a song to finish, and then it was tea and coffees and meet people, etc. But this lady's mum had come to see her daughter get baptized. So she's sort of early 70s, never been to church. She was a club lady, so you know that was her lifestyle choice. And she came along to the meeting. None of us knew this, but she had a problem, an illness. And when she heard me talking about these things, she thought to herself, you know what? I'm going to ask if I can be healed today. Oh, that's great. Now, I love it when people encounter him for the first time. So this was the problem. All the internal knuckles on both hands were split, and they were down to the bone, and they just wouldn't heal. And it was, you can imagine how painful that is. And she'd been to, I mean, this now sounds very gospel and biblical-like, right? She'd been to a number of different doctors, spent a lot of money, and the best advice that she'd had was put super glue in the cuts and keep your hands closed for a number of weeks to give the skin a chance to bond. She thought to herself, this is her first time in church, right? She thought to herself, if I go and put my hands in that water, I'm going to be healed. Oh my gosh. So, meeting finishes, so we're all, you know, going to get tea and coffee. She slides up to this kiddie's pool, puts her hands in. So Mike, my buddy Mike, the senior pastor, he spots this and he goes over and he says, hey, Marion, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? She said, I heard him talking about people, if they meet Jesus, they get healed. And she said, I thought, well, what have I got to lose? I've been to every doctor I can think of. I've had nothing that helps me. She said, maybe Jesus can help me. Mike said, well, I'm sure he can. Can I pray for you? She said, yes, please. This is what she tells us, right? She said, so Mike prays for her. She goes home. So she said, that afternoon, her hands were stinging all afternoon. And she said, by the evening, the cuts were disappearing. By the following morning, it was amazing. She had new skin on both palms. No sign of any cuts. Now, here's the thing. She goes all around Sarn, which is her village, if any of you know where that is. You know, and she's telling people, look what happened to me in that church yesterday. And she was telling her story. Now, she hasn't come to faith yet, but she's just telling this story, which was amazing. So it was 2 weeks later. So Mike has invited her to come on to the Alpha course, which had started, but he said, well, come anyway. So she said, yes, I'll be there. So they're in the room just about to start. There's probably half a dozen people from the church and half a dozen guests who've come on the Alpha course. So Mike's about to start. And she said, Mike, before you start, she said, I want to be a Christian. He says, okay, Marianne, that's great. He said, shall I pray with you at the end of the... No, no, she said, I want to pray now. I want to do it now. He said, what, just in front of everybody? She said, yes, in front of everybody. I love it when people are like, this is great. She says, okay. She says, pray with me. So he starts leading her to a prayer of faith. And he says to me, Rob, he said, the Holy Spirit fell in this room. And he said, everybody came to faith. He said, it was amazing. It was outstanding. And that was one of the miracles we saw, wasn't it, Gay? It was like, wow. And I tell you, there is such an excitement when the presence of the kingdom breaks in. When there's God on the move, suddenly everything takes on a whole new dimension. And every song we sing in worship is filled with a dynamism that we didn't have before. Do you know what I mean? Every message that's preached has now got an edge and a challenge and a life to it that we didn't have before. And I learned that when the kingdom breaks in, well, it disturbs our comfortable church life. But who wants the kingdom? Yes, absolutely. So when Jesus returns, this present age that we're in is going to come to an end. It will finish. And the age to come will begin in its fullness. Until then, The power of the age to come is available to those who will live under God's rule and authority as part of the kingdom, and who will bring that power and that authority to bear upon everyday situations through faith. That's the call that is upon us. And it's wonderful, and it's challenging, and it's great. And you know, when God breaks into our lives in these ways, there's a dynamic that moves in our hearts, that moves it from just intellectual agreement with biblical truth into a dynamic embracing of the reality, hey, this could happen here. And there's the shift that often needs to happen in the hearts of God's people when there is a move and an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I haven't shared my personal testimony much. Some of you will know me, others won't. But obviously you see that I use a walking stick or crutches to walk around. When I was 15, just on 15 years old, I fell 100 feet down a rock face and broke my spine in 5 places. I was completely paralyzed for quite a while from my chest down with no function, no feeling, no movement. I was not a believer at that point. A church leader from my hometown came to visit me in Cardiff in hospital. I was in for almost 9 months for my first stay. I was dangling between life and death, but I was completely paralyzed. I was paraplegic. And I was being set up for Rookwood and for wheelchair and rehabilitation, etc. And this church leader came and prayed for me, and I said, oh, whatever. I was just laying on this special bed, neck brace and all this stuff. Couldn't do a thing for myself, couldn't move, couldn't do anything. And he prayed for me, and 3 days after he prayed for me, I was still lying there, just like that. And I tell you, this is what happened. I was lying there, and suddenly, it was like, bang, something, it was like being plugged in. Boom, and it all came back. And I could feel, and I could move. Some of it was a bit stiff, and still is, but it was back, and I was able to feel and move and function again. So my faith started in a miracle. My faith started in the power of God touching me in a way that I could not deny in any way. Written on my medical notes, it says, remarkable recovery. I've never had an operation on my spine to this day. They took me back to X-ray, and the bones that were all pushed out between my shoulders by about an inch or so were all back in line. And I've never had an operation to this day. So for some almost 50 years, I've been moving on a miracle, which is amazing. And the grace of God to me has been beyond anything that I could have ever deserved. But what that does in your heart, and what that does in your spirit, is it opens you to the reality that there is a power of the age to come that breaks into our normal everyday and brings God's presence and God's reality amongst us. Now, how many of you would say, you know what, that's what I need for my family, for my neighbors, for my colleagues in work, for my friends? How many of us need to be able to move in this realm and this dimension of kingdom living in order to bring the presence of the age to come into our everyday? Come on. And that's what will make a difference in our mission. Because it's what made a difference in Jesus' mission. Because the moment he announces the kingdom, he then begins to demonstrate the kingdom and begins to do all of the works. We'll come to that now. We're coming into land shortly. So let's talk about Jesus' mission. According to Luke's gospel, Jesus understood that his mission was this: to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. This is what he says in Luke 4. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And very often, you know, in our sort of evangelical world, we always focus on the fact that Jesus came to become the sacrifice for our sins. True, 100% true. But he also came to bring the kingdom of God. He came to initiate, to begin a new age. And that age is still with us. And that age is coming to its conclusion when the kingdom of heaven, when the age that is to come, will finally appear. When he will return, this age will be over and the age to come will begin and we will be in eternity. Now that's why he came. And that's amazing, isn't it? That's awesome. As we read through the Gospels, this phrase, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, from Matthew, because he's writing to a Jewish readership. Luke, of course, is writing to a non-Jewish Gentile world, so he calls it kingdom of God. It means more to them. It appears to have layers of meaning, right? So on one hand, it can be understood to be the kingship of God, which we talked about at the beginning. When Jesus uses the phrase kingdom of God, it can also mean the presence of God's rule in the lives of people of faith. And it can also mean the future that is to come. So it's got all these layers of meaning. It's a fascinating study. I would encourage you to read every reference to the kingdom of God in the Gospels when you have a moment, well, a few moments, and really kind of absorb this understanding, this reality. Jesus came to bring God's authority and rule to this world. And later on he says, it's through the church that authority and rule is going to be expressed in community. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not be able to withstand it. Why? Because it will be marked by the power and the presence of the age to come. Coming through the lives of people of faith who have embraced Jesus in his kingship and are living out under that kingship with faith and obedience. Come on, am I speaking to people who are part of the kingdom? Yes. This is where we need to be. Marching to the beat of a different drum. We're not marching to hymns and readings, but we're marching to a spiritual dynamic, which is the presence of the age that is to come through our lives into community. Okay, finally, Jesus announces the kingdom. Now, Matthew and Mark, in their Gospels, both have the first public words of Jesus as being this: repent, change your mind, for the kingdom of God is here. Huh? Now, as Tim will tell you, as a good Bible student, right, in any ancient Near Eastern biography at the time of Jesus, the first words spoken by the person, the last word spoken by the person, and at some point in the middle, a high point, were the three salient messages of their life to the world. And Matthew and Mark both put in the mouth of Jesus these words at the start of his ministry, the start of his first public speaking. The kingdom of God is here, which is amazing. Pointing readers with eyes to see and ears to hear to the understanding, this is his main message. This is what his life is about. This is what he would have us remember above and beyond everything else. The kingdom of God, the rule of God, the loving, grace-filled authority of God is here. Wow. And Luke, who's writing, as we said, to a non-Jewish Gentile world, interestingly, the words that he records for Jesus as his first public speaking was what Richard referred to this morning. Isaiah 61, the scroll that he reads in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And he starts to roll out and list the blessings of the kingdom that were going to come to the broken and the needy and the poor, but people who would embrace the kingdom through faith. Amazing. And this iconic passage from the Old Testament of Isaiah, of course, is recognized as describing the time and the conditions when Messiah would bring the blessings of the kingdom to broken people. Preaching good news, bringing enlightenment, introducing freedom, healing, and bringing in the year or the season of God's favor. Wouldn't it be awesome if we would see a season of God's favor amongst us?